Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and on today's show, author Lisa Fenn will join me to discuss how a story she covered for ESPN about two disabled high school athletes led her to follow the prompts she felt she was getting from God to help transform these young men's lives. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is Lisa Fenn. Lisa is a six-time Emmy Award-winning feature producer with ESPN, whose story titled Carry On has been called the best story ESPN has ever aired. The subject was the unique friendship between two wrestling teammates from Lincoln West High School in Lisa's hometown of Cleveland. One was D'Artagnan Crockett, who was legally blind, and the other was Leroy Sutton, who lost both legs after being run over by a train. Lisa found both these young men so amazing that she not only covered them, she integrated them into her family. That's the topic of Lisa's book about this story, also titled Carry On, and that's what we'll be talking about today. Now I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Lisa Fenn. Lisa, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Lisa, before we talk about the story you tell in Carry On, I want to touch a little bit on your background, especially the spiritual aspect of your life growing up in a Lutheran family in Cleveland, Ohio. You say the family wasn't particularly religious, but you came to have a deep relationship with God. So how did that evolve?
I did, yeah. Well, I grew up in Cleveland where the schools were not very good, and so my parents scrapped to send me to private school, and the nearest private school was a Lutheran elementary school. So I became rooted in the foundations of faith there, and then went on to a Lutheran high school, which was more evangelical than it was Lutheran. Mm-hmm. And I was just surrounded by so many loving teachers and coaches and administrators who really knew how to articulate and live out their faith in a way that made it relevant and real to me. And so it was around my junior year of high school that I gave my life to Christ and made that decision to spend my life serving him.
Sure. Well, I know you spent some time caring for orphans in Russia and delivering, I think, Bibles to Aborigines in Australia. What did performing those acts of service do for you spiritually and emotionally?
Yeah, well, after high school, I went on to college at Cornell University, and that's really where I was discipled. I had some great spiritual mentors there and had the opportunity to go on a few missions trips, one to Russia, one to Australia. And those were cementing times for me in my faith because it was kind of introduced me to the adventure of faith, just traveling with God and having his presence so near and being exposed to the great needs of this world and also the universal needs of this world. And so that was, yeah, a period of my life that was cementing and grew in me a desire to have a ministry of my own. I didn't know what that would look like. I certainly never expected it to be in cable television.
Right.
But when I returned from those trips, I really thought I was going to prepare to go to the missions field.
Right. Okay. I'm talking to Lisa Fenn. She's the author of the book Carry On, A Story of Resilience, Redemption, and an Unlikely Family. Since you just mentioned cable television, I want to tell our listeners that when you started looking for a job, you initially saw only two companies where you thought you'd be happy, the CIA and ESPN. What was that appeal?
Well, my family, as I said, they were a working class, middle class family in Ohio, and just about everyone in my extended family worked at the same place for their entire life. And so the idea of taking a job felt really permanent to me. And I thought, well, if it's only going to be one place, then it better be good. So I did come from a sporting family. Sports was a big deal in our family growing up, and so ESPN was intriguing to me. I knew I wanted to do some sort of journalism, and so that was intriguing. And then the CIA came about just because I saw a job listing in the newspaper, and my dad sort of laughed at me and said, "You could never do something like that." I was a bit of a scaredy cat. So I I did it on a, started to prove him wrong. I went through the interview process, got much farther than any of us expected, and came pretty close to living a life in anonymity.
Well, I love the story in the book of your job interview at ESPN. And in case there's any, like, kids out there listening about how to approach a job interview, just tell us a little bit about that. I'm curious if your approach would work, you know, maybe for other people.
Sure. Well, the ESPN interview at that time to get into their production program was essentially a 10-question trivia quiz. I didn't really know that going into it. But when I walked in the door, the interviewer said, "I'm going to ask you 10 questions. Here we go." There were no pleasantries exchanged. And it became clear about 4 or 5 questions in that I was sunk. I was not going to get a single one of these right. And I think he stopped after about 8 questions out of mercy. And so he said, "You know, I think we're done here. Unless you have anything else to say, we'll call you if we're interested." And I said, "Well, I think I do have something else to say, because I'm pretty certain my phone will never ring." And I said, "You know, all you've done here is proven that I'm really bad at trivia, but you've exposed nothing about my communication skills, my writing skills, my passion, all those things that are intangible." And I went on for a while in a way far braver than I had ever been in my life. And to my surprise, at the end, he just looked at me and said, "Can you start in 2 weeks?"
I love it. So you spoke up for yourself and it paid off.
You have a bit of spunk, and that goes far here.
I love it. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and I'm talking to Lisa Fenn. She's a 6-time Emmy Award-winning ESPN producer, and she's written a book called Carry On, A Story of Resilience, Redemption, and an Unlikely Family. And it's that ESPN job that we were just talking about that eventually led Lisa to cover a lot of compelling human interest stories that highlight the best in sports and what it can do for people. And one of those is the story that's written about in the book. So tell us about one of the young men you write about in the book, D'Artagnan Crockett of Lincoln West High School. What was special about him before he even got on your radar?
Well, D'Artagnan is legally blind. He was born with optic neuropathy. He can see about 10, 15 feet in terms of depth. And he was also, at the time he was in high school, he was transient. His mother had passed away when he was 8 years old. His father had addiction issues. Mm-hmm. They moved frequently, and when they didn't have somewhere to stay, he just sort of crashed with friends and relatives.
Yeah.
So it was a sad tale, but God had sort of also blessed him with this remarkable physique, and he was built like a 5'7" Hulk. And so he was also extremely athletic. He was raw in his athletic abilities. He went to a pretty impoverished high school, so there wasn't great training or coaching there.
Mm-hmm.
But he did have a gift in terms of his strength.
Right, right. Well, I know the coach, Robinson, I believe it was, saw potential in him that he probably didn't see himself. How did that happen? How did Coach Robinson see something in him?
Coach Robinson was the wrestling coach at the time at Lincoln West High School, and he was a man of deep faith. And his team was terrible, and he would circle the track every day, the indoor track, praying for his team, mostly that they wouldn't get killed at their next match. And he said he was one day praying that God would send him just someone that they could build around, someone who could lead this team. And he says that he sensed the voice of God saying, "Your champion is upstairs." Mm. And the only thing upstairs from the gym was the weight room. And he hustled up there, and he said standing at the door of the weight room was this boy. He didn't know anything about him, and he just said, "Son, do you wrestle?" And the boy said, "No." And he said, "Doesn't matter, come with me." And he grabbed him by the shirt and took him down to the wrestling mats, and that boy was D'Artagnan.
I'm talking to Lisa Fenn about her book, Carry On, A Story of Resilience, Redemption, and an Unlikely Family. Now, in addition to having D'Artagnan as a blind wrestler, into the picture comes Leroy Sutton, who is a double amputee missing both legs. What happened to Leroy before he joined the wrestling team?
Oh, yeah, Leroy had equal really debilitating blows in his life. When he was 11 years old, he was struck by a freight train while walking to school. He survived that miraculously, but he lost both of his legs, his right leg below the knee and his left leg at the hip. And so as devastating as that was, his life only got more tragic from there. His mother was an addict, and she was ill-equipped to care for him emotionally, financially, and she began to abandon him for long stretches of time, mm-hmm. leaving him alone to care for his younger sister. Mm-hmm. And so he was, he suffered trauma both physically and emotionally.
And how did the coaches recruit him to join the team? I mean, did they even anticipate there was going to be any problems?
Well, Leroy also moved schools a lot. Lincoln West High School in Cleveland was his 10th school in 12 years. Mm. And at his previous school, he did have a friend who said, hey, you should come out for the wrestling team. And no one was sure quite how that would work. But wrestling is a sport where amputees can frequently participate. Mm-hmm. They lack the leverage, but they can still get in there and have some success. And so he started to learn some of the basics. He wasn't at that school for very long, and then he transferred. But he had really, the short time he was in wrestling, he had really liked the sense of belonging in the sport, the sense of brotherhood. It's a team sport,
sure.
But you're also only responsible for your own sort of performance out there on the mat. So he loved that sense of belonging that he was missing in his life. And when he went to Lincoln another wrestler wanted to include him and say, hey, you should come out, he did.
Yeah.
Coach Robinson wasn't sure what to do with him, no. But it was quite the team of misfits, and so he hardly stood out as odd on that crew.
Sure. Well, I mean, we've talked about both Leroy and D'Artagnan's, the tragic parts of the past. So how important was it for them to have other people look at them as competitors or equals, as opposed to just, say, looking at them with pity?
Yeah, sports was a great equalizer for them, especially for D'Artagnan, because in school, he transferred schools a lot too, and he was often called the blind kid before people even knew his name, mm-hmm. I mean, once his secret got out. And so on the wrestling mat, with the amazing strength that he had, he was respected and he was feared and he was equal. And so he quickly grew to see that sports was a good fit for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really gave him life. And for D'Artagnan, it gave him the sense of belonging he had been craving.
Sure.
And he was a very good wrestler, too. I mean, he won 9 matches his senior year.
Right. No, he's an excellent wrestler. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Lisa Fenn about her book, Carry On, A Story of Resilience, Redemption, and an Unlikely Family. I love the line you use at the start of the book, saying that every day to the boys felt like a cosmic mistake. So when your life is that bad, where do you think they dug up the kind of hope just to keep moving forward?
That's a good question. I've asked them that as well. They certainly went through periods of hopelessness, but I think we're all created with that innate sense that there's something for us in this life, that there's something to move toward, something to hope toward.
Yeah.
And certainly they had setbacks that made them question that. But D'Artagnan in particular talks about watching his father battle drug addiction, and I had asked him, why did you not succumb to the same fate? And he said, I just wanted something better. I don't know where that comes from in a person, but
mm-hmm.
they both had it.
Yeah.
And when they met each other in high school and their friendship quickly formed, they seem to keep each other's spirits lifted in the hard times.
Yeah. Well, tell us about how that friendship formed between the two of them.
Well, they had known each other. They had met briefly their junior year, and then senior year when they were both out for wrestling, D'Artagnan started practicing with Leroy because they were both of equal strength. Leroy's upper body is extremely well built because his arms have essentially been his legs for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were equally matched in their upper body strength. So they would practice together, and then the day of their first match, it was time to get on the team bus, and there's about 5 stairs separating the school gym from the street level, and there wasn't a ramp there. There was also not a wheelchair-accessible way to get onto the bus. They hadn't thought of that. And so D'Artagnan just very casually said, well, just get on my back, and I'll carry you. And Leroy did. Mm-hmm. And he put him on the bus, and he packed up his wheelchair, and then he carried him off the bus when they got to their tournament, their match. He carried him up the bleachers, carried him down the bleachers. And there was never really any discussion about it. It just became the thing that they did.
Yeah.
And that was how their bond began to grow.
Yeah, no, it's beautifully told in the book. It's just like this innate connection between the two of them, and you bring it out beautifully in the book. The book is called Carry On. The author is Lisa Fenn. I'm talking to her today. And now, you were the ESPN producer. You're assigned to covering Leroy and D'Artagnan's story. Was there some kind of spiritual connection between all of you when you first met that would hint at what was to come?
No.
Okay.
When I first met them, it was at a wrestling match, and D'Artagnan was happy to talk to me. He was excited about the prospect of being on ESPN. And he told me about how his mother had passed away,
mm-hmm.
And how he really missed her, and how after every match he would point to the sky and dedicate his win to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did feel close to him as he was sharing those stories. And in the book, I talk about how after his last match, he pointed the sky, and I did sense the voice of God in my heart saying, take care of my son. And yeah, it was powerful. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know the extent of where this was going, but
right.
it was a prompt from the Lord that connected me to him at that point. Leroy was tougher. He wanted nothing to do with me. He wouldn't talk to me, wouldn't look at me, wouldn't shake my hand.
Huh.
I later learned that he had had some pretty confusing experiences with the media after his accident, where they had covered him pretty fiercely for a year, covered his recovery, and sort of painted him as a hero and revered his resilience. And here, in his private life, his life was quite traumatic and painful, and so he was struggling with this sort of dissonant image of being both the hero and the foil.
Yeah.
So he was not eager to engage in media again.
Right.
But I didn't know that at the time. I just thought he hated me.
Well, I guess he came to love you eventually, so because that's part of the story told in Carry On. And I mean, I'm wondering, you know, because you mentioned before you felt like this was a spiritual prompt from God. Are you generally good at living the line, thy will be done, from the Lord's Prayer? I mean, are you really open to following God's will in your life? And has it taught you anything, this experience, about, you know, how God can use us for good if we let him?
Yeah, I don't know that any of us would say we're very good at it, but I certainly, throughout my career, every day, there was a sliding door at my house to go outside, and every day I would slide that door open, and I would just say, Lord, use me where you can.
Mm-hmm.
And he very often did, because in my line of work, I put cameras on people for a living, and it sort of creates this instant vulnerability, you know, where they share some of the deepest parts of their emotions and their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it did become a ministry, because it allowed me to get to know people very quickly on a deep level. And when I saw needs, I was in a position to meet them. When the cameras went off, you know, they're looking for a response, and they're looking for empathy from me, the person sitting across from them. And I saw that as a great privilege. That didn't scare me at all.
Right.
I loved being in that position, because I felt like that's the position Jesus himself would want to be in. So I grew close to a lot of my story subjects,
mm-hmm.
never this close, but I don't know that I had never encountered needs as deep as these.
Right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Lisa Fenn about her book, Carry On, A Story of Resilience, Redemption, and an Unlikely Family. So tell us a little bit about the last part of that title, The Unlikely Family. What made you, you know, take both these young men and adopt them into your own family?
Right. Well, we didn't officially adopt them because they were already 18, and D'Artagnan is still close with his father, but mm-hmm. I like to say we absorbed them into our family.
Okay.
And as we began, as we filmed over the course of 5 months together, so I set out to tell their story of friendship to for ESPN. To me, the idea that D'Artagnan carried Leroy was just such a powerful image and such a powerful symbol for the caring that they displayed, something that was not normal within urban teen culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the story I set out to tell. We filmed together for about 5 months, and it took a while for them to grow comfortable on camera and for me to capture the right moments to convey their friendship. And through those 5 months, we grew closer. We got to know each other well, and I was just heartbroken by the depth of need in their life. They both had big dreams. D'Artagnan at the time thought he wanted to go to law school, and Leroy wanted to become a video game designer, and they wanted to go to college, mm-hmm. but yet there were so many stumbling blocks for them being children in poverty. I mean, they couldn't even afford to take the SAT. They had never been on a college visit. They're academically deficient. Leroy's wheelchair was always broken. Like, it was clear they were never going to get where they wanted to go, but they didn't know that.
Yeah.
They had only been taught to dream. They didn't know how to plan, and they had no resources behind them. So I used to leave these shoots every day just saying, Lord, do something here. Like, we've got to fix this. These are good kids. They deserve better.
Mm-hmm.
And after my story on their friendship aired, ESPN viewers agreed, and several hundred came forth donating enough money to sort of get them off to college. And so I helped them navigate that process. And the years that followed were quite difficult because I didn't understand initially how deficient they were in their life skills and their academic skills. They weren't ready to go to college. It was probably a mistake to send them.
Mm-hmm.
But they were there now. We had to figure it out. And
yeah.
So it became a daily, just working with them daily to try to get them caught up on life skills, on banking, budgeting, tutoring, schooling, customer service calls, disability services. It was a whirlwind of just trying to catch them up. Actually, your original question, I'm sorry, was about how our family dynamic changed. And as a child, I had always had a desire to adopt.
Mm-hmm.
It's really all I wanted to do. My husband wasn't so convinced, but after meeting Leroy and D'Artagnan and hearing me talk about them so often, he came alongside that dream and fell in love with them too. And so it was neat how God changed his heart mm-hmm. through that relationship. And then we also ended up adopting an infant from Cleveland, in part to honor Leroy and D'Artagnan's birthplaces and to try to provide for a child before they had to struggle like Leroy and D'Artagnan. So we also have a young son who's African-American as well,
wow.
who sees Leroy and D'Artagnan as his big brothers. And it's beautiful how God's knit our family together. In addition, you know, my husband actually is Iranian. He's an Iranian Christian. And adoption is not—it's not really a thing in Iran. And so,
mm-hmm.
for him to overcome those mindsets, and then my father, who grew up with in Cleveland at a time where it was racially segregated, and he grew up with some racist, mindsets. Like Leroy D'Artagnan and our youngest son has really transformed everyone's thinking and ideas about what family is, and where we maybe once thought family was having two kids and a dog, we now see that family is what just keeps growing when you open yourself up to what the Lord has for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And family can be ever evolving.
Absolutely. Before, we just have about a minute left, so let me just ask my final question. At the Christophers, you know, everything we do revolves around this motto, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. So tell me about how you think this book, Carry On, can light a candle in the darkness for people who read it.
Yeah, you know, I've got a message just last week from a woman in Seattle who read it and said it gave her great hope and motivation. And she didn't say much, but I said, how did you come across this book? And she wrote back and she said, I'm in a homeless shelter with my granddaughters, and the book is in the computer room as recommended reading for people in the shelter. And she said, I see so much of myself in them and how, in my upbringing, and how I can be my own worst enemy sometimes. But now I'm determined I'm going to get my life together because you guys did it too.
Wow.
And so I've gotten messages like that, where our whole hope with this book was to show people that they too can overcome through allowing themselves to be vulnerable, to either accept help or take the risk to give help. And when they do, I think you find that this compassion of the Lord manifests itself in these really unexpected ways and unexpected places. And we find that the real richness of life comes when we give our life away, when we invest it in other people.
Absolutely. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I've been talking to Lisa Fenn about her book, Carry On, A Story of Resilience, Redemption, and an Unlikely Family. Like Lisa was just saying before, her life changed when she allowed herself to be vulnerable, when she allowed God to lead her in life to these two young men, D'Artagnan and Leroy, and become a special part of their lives and develop a unique family around their situation. It's really a story of love and redemption, like the title says, and it's a powerful read. So I encourage you to pick up Carry On by Lisa Fenn. And Lisa, thanks so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
In a world with millions of distractions, it's all too easy to lose sight of God in the midst of housework or homework or a hard day at the office. Yet God continues to speak to you, even in your busiest or most distracted moments. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Listening When God Speaks. It shares stories about people who have learned to recognize God's voice in their lives and offers advice on how you can do the same. To request your free copy of Listening When God Speaks, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.